It's great to be here tonight and to have fellowship one with another. And, excuse me, Pastor John spoke this morning about becoming comfortable. It was interesting because what I have tonight I believe would fit in with that. But before I do, I have to tell you this. It's quite funny. He started me off with this funny thing this morning. An elderly couple had dinner at another couple's house. And after eating, the wives left the table and went into the kitchen to make a cup of coffee. The two gentlemen were talking, and one said, "Do you know, Joe, last night we went out to a new restaurant, and it was really great. I'd highly recommend it." The other man said, "What's the name of the restaurant?" The first man thought for a few minutes, and he said, "I have to think." And then he said, "I know. What's the name of that flower that you give to somebody special that you love?" And he said, "Oh, do you mean a rose?" "Thank you," he said, "that's the one." Then he turned towards the kitchen and he yelled out, "Rose, what's the name of the restaurant that we went to last night?" His wife's name was Mary. Power of suggestion. And how easy it is for us to forget things, as Pastor John said this morning, but we thank God that as we move in His Spirit, that His Spirit brings to our remembrance the things that are really important that we do need to remember. All the trivial things can pass. I'd like to read tonight from the book of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. And I'm reading down from verse 41. Every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they travelled on for more than a day. Then they began to look for him among the relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they didn't understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favour with God and men. Now, in another version, which is the Bible I meant to bring with me tonight, he says, "Why are you searching for me? I was about my father's business." And we see here that Jesus was on that track with his parents. He'd come back to for a festival, and they were on their way back to Nazareth. Now, isn't it interesting too, when we think about things, the little funny I told you before, the man lost his memory. But how often do we misplace children? And I remember once when Kayleen was very little, and I lost sight of her and running all over the showgrounds. And John said to me, "You wait here and I'll go looking." But of course, a mother, I couldn't wait, I had to go. And she was dressed in red, and there were hundreds of children in red. And I just couldn't find her. And finally, we heard over the loudspeaker, the little girl in red had been found not far from where we'd misplaced her. When we went back to find her, she was sitting up with the St. John's ambulance and the police there having a lovely time entertaining them. And they said, "You know, it's not children that get lost, it's parents." We'd moved away and didn't sort of grab her hand, and we'd moved off and she was still where we'd left her, but we went looking. And while we're out looking, children can wander off further and further. And so here it is that they'd misplaced Jesus and never thought that he would be back where they'd left him, they obviously thought that he was like other children maybe, and something had distracted him and he'd gone off looking on the way back, but he hadn't moved. And so here they were 2 to 3 days looking for him. And of course, his mother particularly was very anxious and spoke to him anxiously and said, you know, why would you do this to us? You know, we're worried about you. And some people read this and think that Jesus was disrespectful. But he wasn't being disrespectful. He expected that they would understand where his heart was and what he was doing. And he said, you must understand that I'm doing my Father's business. And so we need to look at that and see that Jesus' whole purpose in coming to the earth was to do the Father's business. They shouldn't have been surprised, although they didn't fully understand what he had come for. And you know, there are many things that we don't understand about one another, and there are many things parents don't understand about their children. Sometimes they don't understand why they wear baggy clothes, or why they have the music up too loud, or they bump into things, or why they talk so long on the telephone, or why their rooms get into a mess. And you see, it shouldn't be too hard, because while things change, and you know, while you mightn't have had all of these things that they have at their age, you should remember back to some of the things you did, such as messy rooms, and maybe not talking on the phone, but down at your friend's place talking, or running around, or doing whatever it is that you did. So systems change, and things that we have changed, but things don't really change. Children grow and have many of the same attributes and things that we had when we were children. It's just that we grow up and we move away from that and we forget. And we should remember. And we should remember. And we also need to understand about our children, in keeping with this, that we need to be understanding them and knowing them to get a grasp on what they're about. And Jesus expected that Mary particularly would understand what he was about. And you know, we have to be very careful, because sometimes close relatives can misunderstand our children. And if we don't really know our children, they will talk us into or try and convince us that something is wrong with our children. And so it's important that we understand our children. The Bible says we need to understand their bent. We need to understand who they are. We need to watch them and understand what they are doing, as Mary had done much with Jesus, watched him, and yet she was still surprised. And so it's very important. We don't have to defend our children when they've done something that isn't right, but be careful you don't get led to agree when someone is criticising your child, such as if they're a worshipper or if they really want to be serving God. People don't always understand that. They will think there's something wrong. And so we need to be always there ready to understand where our children are at, and know that as we bring them up in the Lord, they'll be different to other children and it will be noticeable. So it's important we understand that. But we need to notice this simple truth about the Father's business. During his ministry, Jesus would say many times, "My Father is always at work to this very day, and I am working for him." And so we need to remember too that Jesus said, "Not my will, but thine be done." So he was always submissive to the will of the Father. Whose business are we doing? And so that's the question that the Word of God brings to us. What business are we in? Jesus was about the Father's business. And you know, sometimes I hear people say, well, I'm about the Father's work, but there can be a lot of doing and not a lot of being. And so we need to really allow God to examine our hearts so that we understand. And sometimes we can have in families where wives are missing their husbands terribly and children feel neglected of their father. And fathers will say, well, I'm about doing what is my business, which is working for my family. And that's very true. But we need wisdom to know how much we need to do. We can get caught up and be in the business of making money. We can be in the business of being popular. We can be in the business of serving the wrong master, which is our employer. And we need to reason what is reasonable for us. You know, there are times where your boss will just sort of say, oh, you know, they see that you're faithful and you're loyal. I want you to work. I want you to work. And you can be forever doing that. But it's not about storing up money. We need things to be able to provide for our families, don't we? And we need men that will work to do that. But we can't be owned by it. So we need to be very cautious about what business we're about what is necessary and what is compulsion, or what is looking for approval of man. Jesus was none of that. He was about the Father's business. And we need to be about the Father's business in everything we do. Even in our work, when a man or a woman works, he or she need to be honouring the Lord. The Bible tells us that we are to serve those who are under us, but in such a way that it's revealed who we belong to. That we go there to work and we respect those over us, but we respect the God who is above everything. So everything we do is of honour. And sometimes it is good to say, no, I can't work today. I need to be with my family. Do you know how little employers hear that today? They seldom hear that someone would say, I need to be with my wife and family. It doesn't happen very often. In fact, the other day I was talking to a lady and she is just absolutely brokenhearted because her husband has got into that deception of believing that he needs to be working harder and harder to provide for the family. And as it works out now, they don't need all of this money. Of course, we can always find use for it, can't we? But they don't really need all this extra money. He's now deceiving himself because it's filling a need in him. And yet his wife and children are feeling neglected because they don't have any time with him. You know, it's important that we get before the Lord in prayer and ask the Holy Spirit to search us and show us the truth about things. Sometimes the business that we're about is television. How often is it that the Spirit of God will convict us that we spend too much time in front of the television? And you see, wherever you spend most time is really where your heart will be and will really very quickly become your master. Now, I hear people say, oh, look, as soon as I get out of bed in the morning, I've got to put the radio on. I can't work unless the radio is on. Now, that's sad. That is sad because we all need a certain amount of silence, but we all need that time to be communicating with God. And when you've got this blaring on the radio, you can't do that. It's good. It's good to have things quiet. And the same as every time you sit down, you don't need to put the television on. It's good to spend time with God. All those things are given for our pleasure, but not to own us. The same as sport. I've said many times before, sport is great, and it's great to have interest in sport and football. But to some people, it just rules their life. They live just from one game to the next. All they talk about is football. And we've got to be very careful in this country that we don't become like that as Christians, that we don't get with the world and make our business the sports of this world. We need to be about the Father's business. We must remember who the Father is. He's our Creator. We heard tonight the Creator of all things. Our wonderful Jesus, he's the sustainer of life. He's the origin of life. He gave us life. He's also a provider of all things. He's our provider. And to Jesus, God the Father was so special. He came to do the will of the Father. And so you see, he didn't quietly sneak off, but he stayed where he felt his heart needed to be. Are you drawn off with the crowd? You young people, you need to be mindful because there is a crowd out there that wants to draw you away with all sorts of words and come and have fun. In fact, I read something today that really alarmed me, that a young girl actually she's a grandniece of mine, something that she wrote about wasting time and why waste time? Let's go out and get wasted. And you see, there are so many young people like that. They don't know what it means to be still. They don't know what it means to be silent. Now, of course, young people have lots of energy and they're very excitable and that's all wonderful. But they need to be careful. You need to be careful where you outwork that excitement and not let the crowd draw you away. And we as adults need to understand that we don't allow the crowd to draw us away. We need to understand that we need to be about the Father's business, just as Jesus has taught us. And this has been coming to me so much over the last 2 weeks. Every time I've gone into prayer, it's like the Lord says to me to be about the Father's business. Jesus understood what being about the Father's business was. The word that stood out here is ought and should. And the world doesn't like these words, ought and should. This is the mood of Australia today. Moral obligations are out. The oughts and the shoulds are about, not about those, it's about what I feel like doing, not what I ought to do or what I should do. There are people going to counsellors and therapists to be told, just do what you feel like. If you feel like doing it, it's good. If you don't feel like doing it, don't do it. That's the motto of the world today. And so the world wants to get rid of the oughts, things that we ought to do, things that we need to do. I'm not talking here about moral obligations. Of course, there are things that we need to do. But we need to remember that we ought to be doing the will of the Father. Remember that James says, therefore, to him that knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. And so there are things that we know we should do, and if we don't do them, then it is sin. If we don't know and understand, that is ignorance. We don't know. But once we know something and we don't do it, that is sin. I'm sure those of you who have children, I remember I was thinking today as I was thinking about this message, and my memory went back to the days of our children growing up. It's awful when your own children have to sit and listen to this, but it's true, and it happens in all families, although today we have modern things called dishwashers. But we didn't have those, and so they had to take turns in doing the dishes. And it was always, it's not my turn tonight, it's your turn, and why should I do it? And of course, being a mother, I'd get in and try and reason with them. And even when they were little, I didn't realise God was preparing me to be a counsellor, because I'd try and counsel out the situation. And John would just come in and say, right, that's enough. You're doing the dishes, you're doing this. There was never another word said. But there was always arguments about who was going to do what. And you see, we can still get like that today. We think, well, it's not my turn, I don't want to do it. We don't want to be about the Father's business. We want to do what we feel like doing when we feel like doing it. There's a story of a professor who was embarrassed about the only kind of work that he was able to find in the summer, and he had to work during the summer because it was such a big break over the holidays to provide for his family. But when he returned to his teaching position and everyone said to him, what did you do over the summer break? He said to his colleagues that he'd been involved in doing biological dissections and that he had over 500 people under him. Now, it sounded very impressive and everyone thought that was great, but he didn't tell them the truth. It turned out that he'd been cutting grass in a cemetery. So he wasn't lying. He had 500 people under him and he was dissecting grass, but he wasn't doing what he was making out he was doing. And so we should not be embarrassed about doing what we're called to do. And we need to be truthful, because the thing is, we can deceive one another, but Jesus knows exactly where you are and what you're doing. Jesus understood that he was under obligation to his Father who sent him. And also he understood what was required of him to do. He knew part of the will of the Father was that he had to climb Golgotha Mountain and that he was to hang on the cross for you and me. And as I said this morning in communion, that Jesus gave everything. So we can't ask, or we have really no right to ask for anything else. Because what more can you be given than life? But you see, we've been given that life to be about the Father's business. We've been given, and it's not a conditional thing, but that life is to take us to the only life that is real. The only place that we can be truly content, to be truly joyful, to be truly overcoming is about the Father's business. Any other stream you get into will have complications, will have heartache and pain. The only place to be free and the only life to have is about the Father's business, as Jesus taught us. The first record we see of Jesus in the Bible speaking is when he said, "Why did you not know that I would be about my Father's business?" How important it was to start Jesus' ministry in that way. He became the shepherd to the lost sheep. He also described himself as a builder. He said, "I will build my church," and he became the saviour of the world and laid down his life in obedience to the Father. Jesus knew what his Father wanted him to do, and he did it. Many Christians are on an RDO. They're on a rostered day off, but that day runs into a week and a month. I get really concerned sometimes when I hear leaders or pastors say, "I'm taking a sabbatical," because quite often people take these breaks, but they don't just take them from the work they do, they take them from God. And you see, it isn't what we do that's important, it's who we are, because who we are will determine if we're about the Father's business. And so what ways should we be about the Father's business? Again, it isn't working, it's being. And so it is studying the Word of God. It's being totally involved in his Word. It's coming along, not to meetings just so we attend a meeting and we can be ticked off the list. It's to attend home groups, it's to attend prayer meetings. Paul says to study, to read, to understand, to show yourself approved. That's our feeding. When we come together, like we are tonight, we are being fed, not of me, from the Word of God, by the Spirit of God. God's Word speaks to each one of us in different ways, but he always speaks to us. Only God knows where you are and what you're feeling. Only God knows some of the decisions you might be making that could be wrong for you. And he wants you to be about his business, to seek his will, to know his heart, to know his mind. Being about the Father's business is being a man of God. It's understanding what it means to be a husband, to be a caregiver, to be a provider, to be a one that would love his wife and protect her. Being about the Father's business is to be a woman that will submit, a woman that will complete her husband, a woman that understands that she's been made to bend, and not to break, and not to throw her arms up in the air and give up. Being about the Father's will is to nurture our children, to guide them and train them and to teach them, but above all to love them. And you see, we think that love is just this ooey-gooey feeling, but the Word of God says no. That's why the Bible says the older women are to teach the younger women to love their husbands and their children, because it's an unconditional love. It's a love that will go along and nurture them. It's a love that will draw them back when they're pulling away or where they say things that are unkind or hurt us. A love that says, "I will forgive you, and I'll forgive you, and I'll forgive you, and I'll forgive you." And a love that then goes to the Lord to allow him to heal that hurt and to nurture you and to stand you strong again. Being about the Father's business is to serve one another, to bear with one another, to share with one another. to do all of these things. You know, we've been talking in Ladies about being fearfully and wonderfully made, and about the scripture in Ephesians that says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that God has already prepared for us." And you see, those good works are worship. Those good works are love, are poetry. When we worship God, when we're about his business, when we serve one another, when we yield to one another, when we care for one another, we are poetry in motion. We are about the Father's business, and the heart of the Father is pleased. And some of the ways we know we worship, we come and we lift our hands and we sing and we praise, that's only part of worship. Our whole life is to be worship. Worship and to be about the Father's business is to make someone a meal, is to go and pray for somebody. It's to comfort someone when they're brokenhearted. It's to laugh and rejoice with someone when they have something to laugh about. It's to lift our hands and sing and praise. It's to honour God in all ways. And I'm looking at someone and I can't find anybody that's just got slip-on shoes. You've all got, oh, here we are. Here we are, Martha. Give us your feet. I've got the microphone. It's that's what being about the Father's business is. And often they're the things that we don't want to do because we think they're unpleasant. But if God has called us to do them, they're beautiful. They're beautiful because we know we're about the Father's business. We know that we are that worshipper when we can go and wash the feet, when we can do the things that are unlovely or unlovable or don't seem so good. That's what it means to be about the Father's business. It means picking up continually after your children, isn't it, Susie? When you do it day after day, and they still keep making a mess. It's wiping the snoots from their nose. It's cleaning their poo-poos and all of those things. And when they're little, we think, oh, that's okay, Brendan, it'll come to you. When they're little, we think that's easy. But you see, when they get bigger and we've still got to do not quite those things, but other things that can seem so unattractive or whatever, we do them because we're about the Father's business. Not if we do them in a mechanical way or in a way that we want people to notice us, but when we do it out of a heart that is yielded to him. Jesus said, "Did you not know that I'm about the Father's business?" I'm saying to you tonight, where are you? Is your heart about the Father's business? Do you come because you just need to be here, or do you really come to meet him? And it's not only that, it's when everything's over, and when we go home, where is our heart then? Where are we yielded then? What is our last thought when we get into bed at night? And what is our first thought in the morning? Is it about being in the Father's business? That's what the Lord wants to say to us tonight, to each one of us, including me, that he's calling us more and more to be about the Father's business in every part of our being, that we might outwork him. Because you see, there's a world that is dying out there. We know people in our own families, and if we're not about the Father's business in here, we will not go out and bring them. And it's not bringing them into a church, it's bringing them into the kingdom. And the Lord's heart is aching for each one of them. Are you going to be his carrier? Are you going to be his life to them? Father God, we just thank you for your grace and your love. We thank you, Lord, that your word is sharp and powerful, that it is sharper than a two-edged sword, and it will cut away, Lord, our wrong ideas, our misconceptions, our fears, our anger, whatever it is, Lord, that would rise itself against you. And that, Lord, you want us to be a people that are yielded to the Father's business, that are yielded to the heart of mine, that we might know our purpose in you and that we might glorify you in that purpose in all that we do and all that we say. Father, minister your heart to each one of us tonight, that we might comprehend and understand the greatness of your love and the fullness of your gift of life to us, that we might live fully for you In Jesus' precious name, amen.